Lord be with you.
Good morning and welcome to everyone joining us in person and welcome to everyone online. Today is the fifth Sunday of Epiphany. We're nearing the end of our green season and we're preparing for Lent. And today is also our Library Sunday. We invite everyone after the service to come gather around our library out in our Norfolk for some fun, some food, and some games, and be together. It is good that we are all here, for together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in each other. Let us begin with the words printed in your bulletin. This is the day the Lord has made. Please stand if you are able, and if you are not able, know that the church stands for and with you. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who makes all things new and whose mercy endures forever.
Amen. Amen.
Trusting in God's mercy, let us confess our sin. Holy One, source of our renewal,
we confess that we are wrapped up in sin and cannot free ourselves. We have not practiced your righteousness. Our hearts have turned away from you. For the sake of the world you so love, forgive us, that we may be reconciled to one another for the glory of your holy name.
Thus says our God, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. God's mercy makes us new. We are forgiven in the name of Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
See you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, with endless mercy, you receive the prayers of all who call upon you. By your Spirit, show us things we ought to do, and give us the grace and power to do them. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now I invite the children to come forward for a children's message. How's everyone today? Good. I'm hoping you're having a good weekend. Thank you for being here. And so today I want to share with you the funnest game you've ever played in your life. We're going to play it now. And this will be the funnest game you've ever played. Are you ready to play it? I am sure. And I invite the congregation to do this too. I guarantee you. Funnest game ever. So everyone can take your right hand, raise your right hand up here, and when I say go, you're going to touch your nose with it. All right, ready, go. See, wasn't that so fun? Wasn't that the funnest thing you've ever done? Now, be honest, and a show of hands, be honest now, who had the funnest time in that game that they've ever had in their life? Uh-oh, I don't see very many hands out there. What about you guys? Was that the funnest thing you've done? Okay, let's try it one more time. We did it with the right hand. Let's try it with the left hand now. So get your left hand out. Go. See, wasn't that the funnest thing you've ever done?
That was better.
That was a little bit better. That wasn't so fun, was it? No, not at all. So what should we do with this game? Should we keep it or throw it out?
Throw it out.
Well, throw it out. Well, Jesus today talks about things that are no longer fun or no longer useful, and we throw them out. He talks about salt no longer being tasteful, and we throw out what's not tasteful or what's no longer useful. Like a game that's not fun, we'll just throw it out. But also, Jesus talks about how special you are, and that you are salt and light, and what that means is you are blessed, you're loved, you're precious, you're cared for. You're God's special person, and we are that together. We are the salt and light. We are the funnest game ever played. So let us pray together. On the count of three, we'll bring our hands together. One, two, three. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for being there.
Thank you for being there.
Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for all that you do.
Amen.
Amen.
And now you are invited to go to Sunday school.
We have seen your glory.
first reading this Sunday after Epiphany is written in Isaiah chapter 58, beginning in the first verse. Now hear the word. Shout out, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Announce to my people their rebellion, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet day after day they seek me and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that practiced righteousness and did not forsake the ordinance of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice? Look, you serve your own interest on your fast day and oppress your workers. Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble oneself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and to not hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom will be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. You shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
And the psalm is on page 4 of your bulletin. It is Psalm 112. Hallelujah! Happy are they who fear the Lord and who have great delight in God's commandments.
Your descendants will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed.
Wealth and riches will be in their house, and their righteousness will last forever.
Light shines in the darkness for the upright. The righteous are merciful and full of compassion.
It is good for them to be generous in lending and to manage their affairs with justice.
For they have appreciated the righteousness we have kept in
They will not be afraid of any evil rumors. Their heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord.
Their heart is established and will not shrink until they see their desire on their enemies.
They have given freely to the poor, and their righteousness stands fast forever. They will hold their heads up with honor.
The wicked will see it and be angry. They will gnash their teeth and hide away. The desires of the wicked will perish.
Second reading is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, again starting at the first verse. Now hear the word. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My speech and my proclamation were not with plausible words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might rest not on human wisdom, but on the power of God. Yet among the mature, we do speak wisdom, though it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to perish. But we speak God's wisdom, secret and hidden, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human being knows what is truly human except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual. Those who are unspiritual do not receive the gifts of God's Spirit, for they are foolish to them, and they are unable to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Those who are spiritual discern all things, and they are themselves subject to no one else's scrutiny. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Matthew, the 15th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does to them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. love in my spare time to watch cooking shows. Cooking became sort of a hobby for me. When I met Jen, neither of us could cook. It was kind of a toss-up about who was going to make dinner. And so ultimately, we realized that of the two, I had the greatest talents at it. And so actually, cooking became sort of a hobby for me, a way of de-stressing after a long day in prison, come home and make a family meal for five. And so in watching cooking shows, I'm always intrigued by the art involved, the ability to take some ingredients, make something into this beautiful piece of art. Not only does it taste good, but it looks good and it smells good. So I'm fascinated by that. And perhaps now you're all primed and ready to hear a good sermon about salt and taste. And I figure that you've all heard that sermon probably 100 different times. This is an awfully familiar text to us. We've heard sermons on it. We have read devotions on it. And we also almost always in those sermons and devotionals hear this as a cooking metaphor. You need salt for taste, too much salt, not enough salt, you're the flavor of the world. But instead of going that route, I encourage us all to interpret or to look at this text differently today. Dive a little bit deeper. Imagine this text. Imagine that we are going to go back in time to a world before electricity, a world before refrigeration. Let's re-examine what salt is. Because salt was one of the most precious substances in the earth. It took years and years to harvest salt. And not only that, but just up the road a little bit in Seaside, we have the salt kilns from the Lewis and Clark expedition. They came all this way, discovered all this land, at least quote unquote discovered this land, came to the Pacific Ocean, and then built a salt kiln. Did you see? Salt is important for life. Salt is a disinfectant. Cleans wounds. Salt preserves food. Salt is used as medicine. I think I've already said that. It was used in the ancient world to ward off evil spirits. People signed contracts, binding contracts with salt. Salt was used for food preservation. You know, all those fish that the disciples were out there catching, would, after they got out of their nets, would go and be heavily, heavily, heavily salted before they ever made it to market. And your pay, oftentimes, came in the form of salt. You know, that English word salary comes from the Latin word sal, which means salt. It comes from that time, instead of cash, you were given salt as your salary, as your saltery. Salt was that important. And your body needs salt, but your body does not produce salt. It must be ingested. And yes, in the modern world, we eat too much salt. But again, we're invited go back in time to a world when salt was essential. So this is not a cooking metaphor when Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. He's saying that you are the most precious thing on the earth. You are the element that will give life to the world. And then to not miss this point, Jesus says and asks the question, what happens when salt loses its saltiness? And of course, most of us in this room have that interesting thought with that statement. Because if you're a chef or if you're a chemist, you know that salt cannot lose its saltiness. Salt is only ever salt. Salt, by definition, is salty. It can be nothing else, nothing other than salt. So what is Jesus saying here? And I think this is a very hard word to translate into English. Because the word we get here is the word that we translate as tasteless or to lose salt, is the word to be foolish. And we are speaking as a metaphor here. What happens when salt starts being foolish, when salt starts acting the fool? What happens when something which is important to life, crucial for substance, no longer is useful? What happens when you play a fun game with the kids that's not fun at all? We throw it out, right? And likewise, Jesus asks the same question about a light. And again, we are encouraged to come back into time and imagine before electricity. And this is the easier one for us to figure out. Because if you want to understand this metaphor more, just go home and turn your power off. Hit that breaker.
Sure.
And you'll understand how important light is to our world. But this is a world... when all light came from a flame. And so Jesus doesn't even ask the question here, but makes the statement, no one lights a lamp and then puts it underneath a basket. No one does that. That would be foolish. And so our question today is, what does it mean to be salt and light for the world? And I think the verses that precede this, the verses that we would have had last week, but we didn't have them last week because of our Reconciled in Christ Sunday, but those previous verses were about what, as we know, the Beatitudes. The blessed are those. Blessed are the meek of the world. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those peacemakers. And I think that means that and our text today go together. That is partly what it means to be salt and light of the world. And this is the vision of what the kingdom of God looks like. When the kingdom comes, Jesus doesn't come like a ruler of the world, but comes with meekness and love and peace and gentleness. These are words that tell us who Jesus is. And that sang to function as what we could be. But before we get to that part, and before I start sounding like a very un-Lutheran minister, let's remember it's never about what we do. And notice this in this text this morning. Jesus doesn't say, if you do this, you will become salt. He doesn't say, become salt. He says, you are. There's no becoming here. You are the salt and light of the world. You are that not because of what we do, We are that not because of who we are. We are salt and light because God has made it so. Because God has come into our world in the form of Jesus. God has come and suffered and died for us. God has brought us back to God. That is what makes you salt and light. There is nothing left for you to do to become. You already are. The only journey, and if there is a journey left, is just to understand who you truly are. Your authentic self in God is salt and light. May we learn to live into that. Learn to live into who we are. We don't become, we just are. And there is one final quality of salt and light. Salt and light do not exist for themselves. Salt is useless when it sits on your tabletop, in your container. It doesn't do anything until it is poured out, until it is mingled, until it's mixed, until its substance is dissolved into that which it is joining. And we, if we are not poured out into the world, we also don't function well. You are salt, you are light. You don't become salt and light, you are salt. And that means that we are there to show, to guide, to lead, so that others might see, others may come to the table to taste, to see God, to become children of God. For we are the salt and the light, and we are there to invite all to this table so that all can become one with God. Reunited, coming back to where we originate from. For it is Christ who is here, God who called us, and the Spirit that enables us to come, show, and be the light and salt of the world. Amen.
called together to follow Jesus. We pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Call your people to seek your wisdom in difficult conversations and actions. Give the church everywhere courage to repent for the way we have tolerated and practiced injustice. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Inspire our wonder at creation from the light of dawn, the dew of the dark night. Sustain the unseen depths of the ocean, the plants and animals we know well. Bring healing to lands and communities experiencing natural disaster. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Instruct the powerful in your ways. Provide upright leadership in business and industry, that workers are not oppressed throughout the world. Inspire voters and raise up politicians to heed your call for nations to practice righteousness. Merciful God, loosen the bonds of injustice in our midst. Grant peace to endless quarrels. Put an end to hunger and break every yoke of oppression. Shelter all who flee abuses in their homes or violence in their communities. Satisfy those afflicted in any way. We pray especially for Leif, Aaron, Reg, Mariah, Jane, Kevin, Mike, Jim, Kelly, Joe, Deb, Clifford, Jim, Nicole, Madeline, Era, and the victims of war in Ukraine. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Shape our congregation to be the salt for the earth. Give us delight in your commandments that we are generous with those in need. Make us steadfast in our trust in you, ready with tangible mercy and compassion for our neighbors. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
The cross and resurrection bring redemption from sin and death. We praise you for all the unshaken faith in Christ shines forth in their witness. Keep them in your remembrance and bring us with them into the kingdom of heaven. Merciful God, we bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
Also with you.
Now I invite you all to share the peace of Christ with those around you. If we can come back together and please stand as we prepare ourselves for the table.
The Lord be with you. That we should in all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection open to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the host of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory.
Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
You are indeed holy, almighty, and merciful, God. Your most holy and great is the majesty of your glory. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." For as often as we eat of this bread and drink from this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
We give thanks to you, O Lord God Almighty, not as we ought, but as we are able. We ask you mercifully to accept our praise and thanksgiving, and with your word and Holy Spirit to bless us, your servants, and these your gifts of bread and wine, so that we and all who share in the body and blood of Christ may be filled with heavenly blessing and grace.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
this is the table of God, the gifts of God for the people of God. Come and taste and see that God is good. This is an open table. We invite all to come forward to receive communion. In a minute, the usher will come forward. We ask you to form a single line. And they come forward with their hand cupped in the other to receive element in your hand. If you wish to come and just receive a blessing, come with your arms forward, cross. But please come. This is for all.
Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you.
Amen.
Now we'd like to open up the floor for a time of announcements. Are there any announcements for the good of the order?
Social ministry meeting is listed as taking place at 4 o'clock on Thursday, but we have decided to change to 2:30 so that people who go to the outreach meeting don't have to have a 1 o'clock meeting and a 4 o'clock meeting. Plus, I won't have to drive home in the dark, which is a bad benefit. But also, with social ministry really getting going again this year, I'd invite you to join our committee if you like to work towards giving to the poor, helping those in need. There's always a place on our committee. Come to the meeting or call me, Sally Jennings, or email or text me. I'd be glad to see what you have in mind that you'd like to do.
Please stay for the celebration of the library. I promise you, we will have some fun games.
Paint party. The outreach committee has committed to help the Pacific Maritime Heritage Center to paint their gallery. And we have the paint and the tarp cloths and everything sitting there waiting for us to do. If you are interested, we are going to begin to paint at 9 in the morning, starting on March the 1st. I'm Dan Moore, and if you would like to be part of this paint party, just let me know, and I'll make sure that you are included in that. Thank you.
Are there any more? Well, I have a few, and I'd like to start off by just welcoming Sandy Kramer to our staff here at Atonement. We have Sandy upstairs in the choir loft. She has come on board kind of as an on-call employee to assist in the office. She'll be there when Raynette is not there, and or when we're in one of those big weeks where it's a lot to do. So don't treat her like a full-time or a part-time employee. She is just on call, but definitely welcome her. We're very delighted that she's here and really a great help in the office. Well, please stay for Library Sunday. We got Youth Sunday, Youth Symphony next Sunday. And then after that, we're looking at Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday will be on Wednesday, the 22nd. And we will have a 12 o'clock and a 7 o'clock service. So without all that being said, let us prepare ourselves for the benediction. The God who faithfully brings forth justice and breaks the oppressor's rod, bless, strengthen, and uphold you today and always.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
follows the way of Jesus.